Hi, and welcome to episode 64 of Fully Boosted, a War Machine Hordes podcast. I'm Grant.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Brad.
I'm Pete.
And I'm Brandon.
Yay!
Brandon's like, you're like the dog that we found that we didn't know we wanted, and then once we had, we were like, well, we're not going to turn him in, because he's so cute.
I mean, really, he just needs to start the own Florida podcast.
I just didn't know, like, if I should, like, do my own intro, because, like, normally you guys are like, special guest Brandon.
Nah, once you're on the third time. Like,
when Grant starts referring to you as this stray mutt we picked up who started following us around, that we were going to euthanize by giving him to a kill shelter or something, and then we're like, nah, we'll keep him.
Because he's so cute. I said he was a cute dog. I didn't say he was, like, an ugly stray that, like, I was like, meh, get off of me. You live outside.
I'm here.
Isn't that, like, the definition of people that live in Florida?
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah, I feel like he's just going to keep us, and then eventually he's just be like, all right, guys, I'm going to go do my own thing, but I just needed, like, so I need, this is, like, my warm-up for the real thing that I'm going to do. I saw.
Yeah, well, we don't have to worry about that, you know.
I saw your boy, Reen, is that his name? He started writing.
Ryan? Fancy Ryan?
Yeah. Put
is
up
that
on
the... Wait, it's just said, it's just pronounced Ryan?
Rian.
Oh, okay, good.
I saw him put up an article. So on, is Flow Machine live again?
No, I think he was asking if he should put up an article.
Oh, I thought he did.
Should I even try?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's got like BFFs in the Reddit area there. They all like congregate together and they like sing Kumbaya and do whatever those elf player guys do.
Mm-hmm.
And so he kind of like caters to them. So I think he was trying to be like, hey, elf friends, what do you guys want to talk about? And I think they decided to like write an article on being a furry or something like that.
Oh, perfect.
Ooh, that's
great.
Hot.
Yeah, Brad will have to check that out.
Wait, why am I checking that out?
I don't know. It just seems like
fucking
something.
Fucking send that shit to Riker.
Seems like of all the people, you'd be into it. Well, yeah, obviously.
What the fuck?
Obviously,
get out of here.
All right. So, this...
I don't even like real dogs.
That's true. I forgot about that. Yeah. You can't be a furry because you hate real animals,
oh
so you sure
God.
Shit aren't going to like people dressed up like them.
Oh, my God.
Nice. All right, so this week, the new ADR roster dropped, finally, so we're gonna talk about that, and the mat lists, locked, but we're gonna dedicate all of next week's episode into that.
I wanna talk about them fucking now.
We're not gonna do that.
No.
We gotta space our content out, you know? We're gonna talk about it next week.
I wanna blow all of our loads at once.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to run through, we'll go faction by faction through ADR, and then we have a topic after that that we're going to jump into. So, first up on the list was Circle. We have Tanith, Chromac, I think that's two, and then Balder, the Stone Cleaver. Which one's that? Guys, help me out.
One. Balder. Do you want me to say these? Because you have asked every time.
I just don't.
You were like, is that Tanith one or Tanith two?
All right, well, Tanith, I knew there was only one Tanith.
Say, Grant, which Mozart?
Mozart one.
Shot.
Nailed it.
Good. Hey, you did it.
I did it, guys.
I love you.
Fuckers.
Yeah, I was gonna
say, like, I'm sorry. I don't know the name of every fucking warlock and warcaster, which one is one, two, or three.
Did you have a podcast? You're supposed to know that shit.
I give a shit.
So do we want to comment on them as you say them? Or?
Yeah, no, let's talk. Yeah, let's talk about
it. That's fucking really good. And I know people are like, they're going to be all like lame about it, but I think that's a really good one, right? I think that I would give that one an 8 out of 10.
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, so if we're still bringing Crix in the picture, like you have a list pair that has RFP in it in Champions or Masters, like just it's solid. It's you know, are there certainly different ones you would like if you're hand picking you put in there, like just to get your best ones? Yes, but like really solid list pairs you can make out of it. I think centered around Mozart.
Yeah, so what are the common pairings you think you might like? What do you think a common pairing would
like
be
in a champions
champion?
Event? Or
yeah,
in
let's,
a Masters
no,
event?
No, Champions, because that's the easier one to predict.
I would say Mozart Chromac 2 or Mozart Tanner.
Yeah.
I think you have a lot of room in here to make up quite a number of combinations because Mozart is a good assassination caster and Balder is going to do really good work with both bones and with infantry with solid ground. Chromac obviously can run a beast brick.
Yep.
And then Tanith is good with a combination of stuff. So they've got a really good good stable.
I hate to simplify Circle to this point, but I feel like you play a list that's skewy, running in the Tharn theme, and you just throw like a bajillion infantry at people, and then your other list is kind of like the list you like to play. And I feel like Peabalder plays a really solid Tharn theme. So we can run a Peabalder Tharn theme, we can skew into people, and then we can run the list we actually want to play with Tanith or Mosar. And Mosar is a hot button. They really like him. I know a lot of the players do. And then Tanith is probably one of their better Warlocks in general.
Yeah, I think that sounds probably pretty accurate as far as what Circle's going
to Ikromak's fucking dead to me, just for reference.
Why is that?
What did he do?
Oh, I played him at the beginning of Mark III quite a bit, and I am a big fan of his. And he's just kind of shitty, you know? And I've been playing a lot of Epic Barnabas, which kind of was just like, well, goodbye, Cro-Mac.
Yeah. Yeah, I like this roster. I kind of skipped over it first, but then when I went back and looked at it, I think there's some really good options there. So, Circle looks pretty good. So on to Convergence. Guys, I think I can get this one, so I don't need any help. All right?
You're going to fuck it up. I'm getting ready.
So we have Orion, Axis, Synth.
Whoa, slow down. Orion, whoa. What?
All right. That's enough out of you.
Jesus Christ, Grant.
I got to call my tits, guys. Hold on. All right. Orion, Axis, Synth, and Mother.
You did it again. Orion 1.
Oh my god. I'm not doing that for all of the ones that only have one. Fuck you.
Wait, how are you going to know which ones only have one?
Cuz if I don't say, it's implied. I am sick of all of your guys' shit tonight.
Fucking lawyered.
God damn it.
It's fucking overpowered, right? Because Axis is in it. And Axis is overpowered.
I mean, Ryan, you're playing Convergence. I mean, this is...
I'm trying to formulate a defense that Axis is overpowered.
It's a limited faction. Like, limited factions are always in the cream of the crop when it comes to champions.
Yeah, let's be fair here, and we were actually talking about this just off mics, but it's not that the limited faction buffs them up. It's that it removes some of the problem makers that their factions have. Convergence, and a lesser so with Grimkin, but they still suffer from it a little bit. They don't have a lot of the oddball pieces to fill in very niche roles. So when everybody is limited down a little bit, it does help them significantly. But like Convergence, Ghost Fleet in that pairing, Orion's in there actually. So
I was going to say, I don't know where you're about to go because Orion's here.
But yeah, no, there's definitely some holes. That one, Orion, it's less so Axis is in the pairing and more so Orion's in the pairing.
I mean, I don't see the issue. The common pairings are Mother Axis, Orion Axis, and you could still run a good list with Synth.
Yeah, Mother still scares me personally. So that's
yeah.
Mother scares a lot of people, but the big thing that Convergence was missing was the stuff that Orion brings in the gun line and being able to play a game that they've never been able to play before. Any pairing that he's in, yeah, they're at full strength. There's no limiting factor.
And that's, I'm with Brad, and I said the same thing off mic. I mean, Convergence, and when I'm looking through and like picking like, the ones I think came out the best, I'm excluding Convergence and Grimkin because I just think they're always going to be super strong in this format.
I think if you had one where Orion wasn't in it at this point, that you actually would have run into problems. Ghost Fleet would be a huge issue again for them and some of the other stuff.
This was legal. Ghost Fleet's gone by then, probably anyway, or very soon after.
This is true.
And also, the Ghost Fleet you're worried about. I mean, it's still Ghost Fleet.
So no, it's Ghost Fleet itself that's the problem, not necessarily the Denny.
And we're referencing this as a champions format, which, to be fair, Agatha is a fair Ghost Fleet caster, and Terminus is a great Ghost Fleet caster.
Yeah, sure.
Now, but we're getting kind of ahead of ourselves. But
now a Convergence, another thing that they happen to have. Are very strong in is if you or were doing a specialist format, being able to just swap out two teps for a colossal.
Convergence, I think Convergence, huge. It's less so with the faction, it's more so with how that works with theme
because
forces.
I think it's just because of the tep. In general,
yeah, I guess we can say it that way. The end result's the same, though, is that I can take a theme force in Convergence and I can swap points around and not have any issues with keeping a valid list on both sides of that specialist. Whereas in a lot of factions, that's really hard to do.
Sure.
Like if you're in Winter Guard Command, there's only so much, even if you'd want to swap stuff around, there's only so much swapping you can do before you make your list illegal.
Well, and then you lose your mortar and you're really like, whatever.
Well, yeah. Can I ask this? Is this a fair statement that outside of like Convergence is Hordes just significantly better in that format, in a specialist format than War Machine?
Are you talking about because of animuses?
Because of animuses, yeah.
Animal. I don't think so.
Because I look at, maybe it's just because of the faction I play, but I look at the Signar and it's like, okay, there's some instances where now, because of the Strider buff, I could drop two Striders in a solo for a Stormwall if I were to run in like the Storm Division mirror. But outside of that, there's not a whole lot of real options. I mean, and maybe now that the Mercs are in, maybe that changes a little. But I
don't think it's a Horde's War Machine line. But it really depends on the theme force you're using and what you're using it for. If you're in Storm Division and you're like, all right, I'm going to drop the Strider and I'm going to take these Mercs, well, you don't have a valid Storm Division list anymore. So now you're actually going to be playing down points because either you're going to have to take the solos out or you're going to literally not have a legal list. Like, it won't be allowed.
All right, Pete has to pause real quick.
Hey guys, so I gotta fucking drive down to the Philadelphia airport to give my supervisor his car keys that he left in my fucking car the other day. So, have a good cast.
Oh man, tell him to wait an hour. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Like, are you fucking kidding me? So.
Oh, sorry, buddy. All right, I guess we'll just do ADR and then we'll bullshit.
Keys in an Uber.
Yes. Pay an Uber, and here are the keys, and this is where you're going. I don't think I'm gonna. I want to keep that in the podcast. Like, I kind of don't want to edit that out.
I mean, you can leave it in. That's fine.
Oh my god.
I mean, just fucking teach Tilly how to drive. Like today you're learning.
Today's the day, buddy.
All right. Well. Enjoy the rest of the cast.
All right, buddy.
To everybody, don't forget to check out Not Snakes Gaming on YouTube. I will see everyone later.
Don't forget to not leave your boss's keys in your car.
He left them. He was like, here, take my coat.
All right, well, then I guess that's a wrap. Pete's gone. 12-minute podcast. See you next week.
Wrap it up.
All right, lads. All right. Put on a good show.
All right, it's buddy.
All,
sorry.
All hips and nips.
Yep.
Make it sexy.
Oh, my God. All right. Bye. So, bye, buddy. All right, so yeah, I'm just gonna leave all that in because, like, fuck it, because the Uber thing that's too classic for me to not edit. So, all right, so I think Ryan, I think we finished our point on that. So let's
jump.
I
think our point.
Over
I actually did finish the
in,
point
into
so.
Crix.
Crix, play Ghost
so
Sleep.
So Crix,
done.
We have Agathea, Denny 2, Terminus, and Iacos 2. So I'll defer to you two scumbag Crix players. What do you? How do you guys feel about that?
Real quick, before we let them have free reign here. Brad, how likely would that make you play your Iacos 2 list, get you from 9 million miles away in the stupid
Brad
Jack's
jerked
get?
Off 3 times already since the ADR dropped. I
think it's good. I think post CID, Denegra 2 is going to be a little more Warjack theme, but she has Hellmouth, so she can kind of still do whatever. I don't know if you want to put Iacos 2 and Denegra 2 together, but I'm sure you fucking could do it. It doesn't matter. Crix can do whatever the fuck it wants. Terminus is really good, and then fucking Agathea is like wearing a helmet in the back of the bus, like just showing up with the rest of the party. But to say all that, like, because you know what the champion's meta is, like, if you know what your area is and they can't handle stealth and you just have to get there, like, if you can fucking do that, I guess. So,
Have we returned to a point where even a kneecapped Crix is still an incredibly powerful Crix?
Yes.
I don't know, like, what's it? So Tixis are going to lose Pathfinder, but, I mean, if you're using Agathea for that, you have Ghostwalk, so who gives a shit? Slaughterfleet, I think, is going to be the absolute bee's knees. Darkhost is already stupid good. Ghostfleet's going to be okay. I'm sorry, Ghostfleet is fine until post-CID, and then, like, you still get a fucking mountain of good solos for free, and then still recursion even if you lose point blank. I mean, there's some lists of pride just can't handle you still, so it's probably not an awful list. It's not going to be as point and click and mind numbing as it was before. I say all that to not even mention Infernal Machines, which is like one of the freest ones solo wise for us, and then there's fucking Black Industries, which is like what Iacos and Denegra 2 might jerk off in for, you know, a little while. Crix CID is Crix ADR is going to be fine. You don't have any hard control casters in those four. So, yeah, they'll be fine. Crix is going to be good, and I'm not complaining.
What do you got, Brandon?
Mm-hmm. So it's really an incredible list of casters. He hit the nail on the head where Wraith Witch Tenegra and Iacos, they are very similar in what they want to do, and they'll probably both be playing out of Black Industries, at least initially. That would be my thought process on it. Now, Terminus gives you the off list with it. He would probably want to run like a swarm kind of thing. Ideally, you're trying to run some kind of recursion-based list as your second list in Crix anyway. For example, like 3 Gore Shade, etc. Like in a real tournament, you would want that. So Terminus could effectively do that with Iron, whatever it's called, the one with the Mechanothralls. But
in front of machines.
I think the important thing is the diversity in the lists. You've got Terminus, which threatens an enemy with a very specific answer. They have to fight it a certain way. Mm-hmm. You have Iacos and Denegra, who seem to play it a different way. Again, like he said, Denegra can do different things. She's a really strong caster. She looks like she's going to be really powerful in general. And then Agatha, I mean, she sucks to a degree, but I mean, we've already talked about in the past that you can just run Dark Host with a 6-focus caster, which is what Agatha could do, even though she has like very little synergy there.
Is she one of those casters that in like specialists that like can kind of like polish her turd a little bit with swapping, or is it kind of not
she doesn't
matter?
Fucking do anything.
Right. Well, I mean,
like these armies play a lot of unique small models, like adding a War Witch Siren. So what you were saying earlier about ADR and specialists would be taking in like a Stormwall.
Right.
When I look at it, I think of it like fine-tuning your list to deal with something, like bringing Gorman in, or like bringing like a solo out, and then bringing like, you know, another unit of overlords in because you have to deal with infantry, or like being like, oh, there's no circle zones, so you shift your units out and you bring in more solos. Like, that's what I look at with specialists. And I think Crix, their themes are very open to that, other than Scourge. If you look at their themes, they all allow a lot of solos, small point models. We have access to a lot of 2-point models, things
I
like
actually
that.
Think Scourge is going to become that soon. Scourge right now is limited because all we have is Raider captains. But soon we'll have fucking
Axiria,
character,
whatever the fuck her name is.
There's Axiara and the fucking pistol chick. I can't think of her name.
You just added 2 models to it. Now you have 3.
Sure,
it's more than
that
one.
Is
yeah.
They should always be in your list. Why would you ever drop
that? And the attachment one. You're getting 3 solos to add to what's it called?
No, I mean, obviously the list is going to flesh out, right? But I mean, it's just to me, from a perspective of adding models to the army, I would rather not be like, ha, I've changed my entire army composition. I have a Colossal. You didn't expect that. But then, like, I'd rather just, like, fine-tune it, right, and play the game that I set out to play. And this, I mean, I hate ADR. Like, I absolutely hate Specialists. I love Champions. I hate the theme of Specialists. I hate the idea of it. I feel like they should either just allow everybody to have specialists or not. I don't like the idea of being like, well, you won the lottery, you guys get, you know, Mercs got it this time, like, kind of thing. And randomly now you have advantages. But, you know, that's a different conversation.
Well, no, we can get into that now. That's fine. And then we'll hop back on it. So, I mean, continue. Like, what?
I just don't like it. I just don't think that, like, I don't like the advantage, this, like, perceived advantage. I don't like when my opponent is sitting there and, like, first off, just in a tournament, okay, just going to the table, I don't care. Like, I'm never going to sit there and be like, I want to count your list. But, like, it's kind of a messy process in general. A lot of people talk about having, like, modules, and they'll be like, oh, well, the Firefly's 8, and I know I'm going to bring in that for 8, and I drop that solo, and boom, it works. Like, it's really obvious. But, like, I don't like the idea that we're all of a sudden sitting in front of our phones and doing math again right before the game, and that I potentially could be in a situation where I have to double-check my opponent. Because, technically, in this game, it's your responsibility as well, right? So, I don't like that. That annoys me.
I might just be dumb, but I feel like it's hard with themes. Because, like, you gotta, you know, all the free points still have to work out. And if you don't have something you can straight swap for, sometimes that can get a little muddy in a heavy metal.
You're talking about a history where we've seen people get DQ'd in big tournaments unintentionally putting models on the table, mm-hmm. and now you're trading in free models and stuff.
Yep.
I mean, like, look at Arcane Tempest theme. Like, if you start messing with the model count in that army with how low the free points are in that army, it's really easy to screw that one up.
Actually, can we talk about this real quick while we're here? The rules for specialists, if I'm correct, just mean that, like, you build your 75-point list and it's done. It has all the free shit in it. Then you have 40 points of stuff that all counts for points. So you don't get anything for free in specialists, of course. So you get 40 points of shit in specialists. in between, like once you pick your list for the round and you go to do your specials, the only thing that has to happen at the end is that your list that you're putting on the table is a legal list if you had started like.
So if you had four free solos and swapped it to have three, that's still fine, you think?
I think yeah. that's what I'm saying. Like that'll that is, like, and then your specials at that point would probably be over 40 points that isn't on the table, but that's all still fine, right?
I think
there's no pool. Okay, I'll answer it for sure. There's no like pool on the side that has a required amount of 40 points to sit in it. Like once you start making your lists, if you were achieving four free solos and then like you took models out and then you were like, okay, I have to drop these free Kravitz because I brought Kariana Rose in and she hurt my number of beasts. You could drop your free Kravit out and bring Kariana Rose in, and you're just like literally just like swapping, you know? But like you don't get any points for the free Kravit, you don't get anything like that, and it doesn't, you can have those free models into the sideboard, right?
Can your sideboard go over 40 by you doing that?
Well, it's not actually over 40 because it will, first off, yes, it doesn't matter. What's sitting on your sideboard, there's never like a rule that's like you can have 40 points and that's it. Like once your sideboard's complete and it made sense in list construction when you submit it,
sure,
you can change in and do what you want.
Yeah, that makes sense.
In fact, when you're making specialist lists and you're in your war room, you'll see there's like little tiny like intricacies where it's like easier to start one model in the specialist group and then like bring it in over later, you know?
Mm-hmm. How do the rules for the one mercenary unit and solo go? Can you have additional merc units and sideboard only have one in the legal list?
No.
The whole thing has to be legal. So like if you're allowed three units of said infantry, you can't have three in your primary list and then a fourth one in your side list.
It has to be
list.
One giant legal list for FA. So if you can only have what you can only have one merc unit and solo. Brandon, you can correct us if I'm wrong. I've looked and talked to some EOs.
No, you're correct. You can have one, if you're allowed to have one solo, that one Gorman is across your list and your specialist. You can't have a Ragman in your specialist and a Gorman in your main list.
Right.
So, right. But again, I hate the specialists. It's not just the bookkeeping. I don't think people should get random advantages for playing stuff. And you know what else I kind of fucking hate? I hate that, like, call me an asshole. You can totally do it. It's fine.
You're an asshole.
I like Kray. I like Iacos. Like, I like some of these casters that are, like, lesser known. And I think they should legitimately be played. I don't think Privateer Press should come up, hand you a silver platter, and be like, come on, guys. We've been telling you to play this guy. He's really great. And we're like, no, he's not competitive. First off, he is probably competitive. Y'all are just assholes. And then secondly, you put him into your list, and now you get like all these advantages with him and stuff. And people are like, oh, Kray just won something. And, I mean, I know Kray's good, so he's probably not a great example. People are like, oh, Iacos and Agatha just won something. And it's like, well, they did, but they also kind of got to like doctor their list and stuff.
Right.
I don't like it. I fucking really just don't like it. I love champions.
That was going to be my next question, how you felt about champions in general.
I dig it. And again, it does cheapen people a little bit, right? Like, you go out and, like, you know, I played against Agatha. That's crazy. Like, who the hell plays Agatha? But I was in champions, so it didn't even, like, phase me. I was like, oh, there's an Agatha over there, whatever. And that should be cool. You should be like, wow, I saw an Agatha at a tournament. What the fuck? But, like, it just didn't even bother me. I was just like, there was an Agatha.
Well, I don't think that... Yeah, I mean, champions as a whole is a cool format. It is nice to be able to just go, I know the casters I have to worry about. I can count the number I have to worry about and think about it that way instead of just being like, well, I could see fucking anybody. And you're right. You should be able to go to a tournament and see an Iacos too. And I think the themes are going to help with that, where you're going to start seeing a lot of these casters that have been underutilized start making their way back out as people are like, here's my main list. This is going to deal with all of this, and I just need this list to cover. And I don't have to play it because there's no DNC, so I could take this shitty caster that fills this one niche that I need, and I use shitty loosely, and then put that in this theme list, and it'll cover my one or a couple weaknesses, and then I'm good to go. But champions is cool. It's a good format, and hey, I don't think it like lessens the win if you won with Agathea and fucking champions. Like, that's
no, it really doesn't. And you know what else? I'll make one other quick statement. Like, I don't know what the word for it is. Go on, forget it.
Lost plot.
I didn't have a thought. I was waiting for that to finish. To go into the next thing, but that's fine. So on to Signar. We have Maddox, Siege 2, Cray, and Jakes 2.
Which Cray is that? Is that Cray 1?
It's Cray fucking 1, you scumbag. So this ADR, I think, is fine. I know we're all just going to have our Battlebox casters and whatever. That's fine. I'm fucking tired of Maddox and Jakes 2.
You're not satisfied with Siege 2 in your Gravediggers list or your Armorcraft list that you did, and then Cray?
Yeah, no, there's some cool lists. You can go Siege 2 and Diggers, and then Maddox and Storm Division if you wanted to go that way. I think Siege 2 Cray's or Maddox Cray is probably where most people will fall. But, I mean, Jakes has some interesting options if you needed to, you know, throw her in like a heavy metal with some sword knights or even trenchers, like, you know, live the Finn dream on Jake's feet turn.
It's not
a sexy ADR to me, and Signar seems to like always just get a meh ADR. So I feel like it was two ADRs ago or something where we just had Jakes and Maddox both on there, and I might be mistaken on that, but I'm just kind of tired of them.
Maddox is in a really weird spot. She's a hybrid caster, right?
Right.
Before themes, I was playing her with like a trencher squad. And they would hold your snipe, and then they could go to melee, similar like to a striker or even a two siege. And it was sweet. And then you would have your Stormblades with the armor and stuff. There's no like theme that really supports that. And people play her with like Stormblades and shit, but that's such a predictable and shitty and slow and army, and it just like runs at you. And they're like, "Can you deal with armor 18?" And I'm like, "Yeah, everybody can deal with armor 18. Fuck off." So like, let's just forget her. I don't even care. Siege 2 is great, like you said. Jeremiah Cray is a high tier caster. They can play opposing lists that play very differently. Also, if you're into threat range, which is all I care about, then both those casters can complete threat range.
Yep.
And I'm happy with that. Jakes is also like a sleepy caster.
She
really
is.
Like her.
She's
and
not.
Like going into a lot of detail, but
yeah, I mean, I haven't played with Jakes at all. I've made a couple lists with her. She seems like she's fine. I totally agree with you about Maddox. My problem with Maddox is she just seems to always die because she has to play up front, and then you kind of want her armor. You want Onslaught on her, and you want the armor buffs on the Stormlances or Stormblades if you're playing them. So she's fine. She's kind of, I keep saying, a poor man Striker 3, although I still haven't made like that Striker 3 list that I think is like great. So Maddox definitely has some play here, but I think Siege 2 and Cray are probably going to be the primary pair.
I think Maddox is just a worse Siege 2, but yeah, anyway.
Yeah, and you're probably right about that. And the other thing, like I was saying before, when you had talked about like changing up your list as far as like, oh, I'm going to take these jacks out and put this infantry. The thing I look at is like, so take Maddox and Storm Division. What am I going to swap out? Storm Lances for another unit of Stormblades? Because I probably already have two of each. So most likely that list is done and you're only swapping out jacks. And at that point, it's like, I don't see a whole lot of versatility in my sideboard. And maybe I'm missing something, so maybe you can shed some light on that for me. And maybe that's just a bad example for the theme.
Nobody can shed light on that, you're right.
Okay, great.
You're on it.
All right, moving on then. All right, on to Grimkin. We have Heretic, Old Witch 3, Wanderer, and King of Nothing. So what do you guys think about that?
It's so fucking good.
It's really good, right? Like,
I don't even want to talk about it. It's so good.
It's fine. It's limited faction. They get everything they want.
Yeah, that's it. Heretic Wanderer is my pair when I play that faction. I play DM Heretic. I play Wanderer Bump. I have a grand old fucking time. I don't think I'm going to play it in tournaments. I play it at home and stuff. And it's really strong.
Yeah, I'm sorry. One more time. Old Witch, Wanderer. Who else was there?
Heretic and King of Nothing.
Right, so King of Nothing and Heretic both kind of want to play in Dark Menagerie all the time, although Heretic can play in Bump, but I don't think it's as good.
Yeah.
And then Wanderer and Old Witch 2 can play in either. Both of them can comfortably play in either. So it's not even like they got all the ones that always want to take Dark Menagerie, like Dreamer, Child, King,
Heretic probably wants it, right? Like, isn't that how he's generally played in Dark Menagerie?
No, yeah, so that's what I'm saying. He's usually Dark Menagerie, but he can play in Bump.
Gotcha.
They have like 2.5 casters that can flex into Bump, which is the less popular one. So their list can literally go anywhere. Like, Grimkin is playing in the sprinkler right now in this ADR cycle.
Yep.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, it might as well not have zero restrictions at all.
Right. All right, on to Kador. We have Kozlov, Old Witch 2, Vlad 3, and Sorsha 1.
I really like this set. I do. It's just fun. Sorcerer 1 is still an amazing assassin character. And
how do you like Old Witch 3? Do you like her in Legion of Steel, or do you like her in Winter Guard Command?
I played her with a shit ton of heavies. I played her with all the IFP, and I played her with all the rockets. I think all the rockets is probably the best list. I liked all the IFP. I didn't have Ulans, which I know the common list with her is with some Ulans in there too. But I think I had more fun with that. That was very old school Kador, just run at you, and if I make it there, I'm going to be hitting you with a shit ton of PAL 15, effectively. Knockdown charges and just swarms of infantry. But yeah, she's real good. She's real good. She can do, if you want to play, the thing with it that they're going to be able to do in this ADR pairing is you're going to be able to pick whichever caster you like the most out of the other three, and then Old Witch can do whatever they can't. So if you want to play Sorsha with a bunch of jacks, you do that. If you want to play Sorsha with a bunch of infantry, you do that, and then Old Witch does the other thing.
I mean, Kozlov's a caster you don't see a ton. Does he fit in, or
he's just a solid caster? He
might with new unyielding change plus CID.
Yes, it, that's a good point. New unyielding change changes him drastically. That fixes one of his greatest weaknesses. He is a very traditional Kador style caster. He's gonna do the strategy of axe to the face. He's gonna do it incredibly well. What's it called? The spell that gives his battle group no knockdown and
chosen ground.
Chosen ground. I knew it wasn't solid ground. It's chosen ground. It lets him run Jax incredibly efficiently. Having unyielding on Kador Jax is a lot of fun. He's just a solid caster. I don't think you see him, even with the unyielding changes, I don't think he breaks into the top lists all the time. But in this, you could easily make an all-comers list in almost any of the themes, and he'll be good.
Sure. All right, on to Legion. We have Krissa, Thags 1, Ryas, and Fianna 2, obviously. So let's start. Brandon, what do you think?
I want to point out real quick that it's been confirmed maybe by Privateer Press employees that E. Butcher was in that active duty roster, and last minute they changed him out after listening to last week's pod.
Oh.
I don't believe that.
Yeah, no, don't believe
it's
that.
It's true, so
at
it doesn't
all.
Really matter what you guys believe. So, it's the truth. So, Fianna obviously is a strong caster. She didn't really change a whole lot. The meta shifted away from her to grab E. Abby, and I don't think they would have a big issue switching back. I like Ryas, but I don't like her in the pair. So it's weird because, like, everything kind of works the same here in my mind. You've got Ryas, Fianna, Pythagoras, and Krissa. And they all meet their goals a little differently, but, like, they kind of play similarly. Like, obviously, Pythagoras can run, like, the armor thing. Ryas is, like, a blender, and Fianna is, like, a blender with, like, a defense buff. They just kind of all feel like they would be in the same position on the table to me. So, like, I don't love the pairing too much, but I think you can run Fianna and Thagrosh. Those are two really competitive casters in general. You know, Chris has been, like, proven that she can win, but, like, at the same time, it's good players doing it just to do it kind of thing.
Well, and looking forward, you have the Ogryn CID about to happen. So, I mean, I think that you look at Thags, maybe even Krissa, although I don't know, you know.
Right, buddy. Ryas.
Ryas. Right. Looking forward to that. Fianna, I mean, yeah, she could play in Oracles. I mean, she was playing in the other theme before too. So, I mean, you
Ravens.
Could, yeah, and Ravens. So you could swap her to that if you wanted to. I'm not a big fan of Krissa, but I think this will be fine. I think this is one of those ones, if you were playing in a tournament champions in January, you wouldn't be super excited about it. But if you're doing it in March, it might be better.
So the thing with this is, from what I know of Legion and how these casters have at least my experience with them, I think that you're looking at, if I was going, this is the first grouping where I'm going to see Thragrosh Fianna as a pair, because I think those two have the best abilities to start covering each other. So I like that. All these other ones would be like, oh great, they could pick almost one in almost anything. In this one, I think it's like it's gonna be Thagrosh and Fianna almost every time. Now, again, if we're talking about after the Ogryn thing comes out, maybe Urias gets in there, but I'm not sure.
So here's one thing, and I said this before, and maybe I'm just trying to dig for something that isn't there. So most, if not all, of the casters that have been – not all, but most of the casters that have been touched in this their respective faction CIDs appear on here. So you have Denny 2, Kray, was it Yaga Yaga for minions, right?
We're not there yet.
No, I'm just saying, and then Ashlyn.
Save the conspiracy theory for the end.
No, it's not a conspiracy theory. It's just do you think that – obviously, I don't think Krissa would get a rework. Thags probably doesn't need it. So do you think that means Ryas is potentially the caster for that might be in CID?
I mean, I don't think it's a like terrible bet or anything.
That's actually pretty reasonable.
Yeah, I could see that. So the problem with
I felt that way when I talked about her last week too. I was like, I think she could maybe see some help.
Same side, do we think Sorsha 1 gets to go through CID?
I think it would be Vlad 3, not Sorsha 1.
I don't think automatically one caster is going to go through CID. Or anything.
I don't.
Let's make Sorsha 1 better.
Vlad 3 sick, by the way. So
he is.
I'm not saying, I just when I looked through, that was one of my first thoughts. Was like, okay, so like maybe it.
I'll be honest though. Isn't Ryze's bigger problem the stuff around her, not her?
No, the reason she's least favorite one is because she's on the table.
But she just needs a new fucking model. You see that picture of her where she's like karate kicking and shit? They make that model and shit's going down.
That's it? That's all she needs? Resculpt? Yeah, she needs a resculpt and she's ready to go?
I don't know. Rise plus throw and like kills 7 units in one turn.
Yeah, it kills a lot of shit.
Did we talk about the throne?
What about it?
I mean, we haven't.
Let's talk about Mercs. Let's talk about Mercs.
What do you want to talk about the throne? I mean,
Mercs.
Alex,
I don't want
good.
To talk about the throne. I don't want to bring that up again. Brad will have a fucking conniption fit.
What? What's wrong with the throne?
He wants to jump it over fucking colossals and shit. All right, where were we?
Yeah, it's so good.
Which was funny because when it came out in CID, you were like, or whenever it, when the colossal buff came out, you're like, meh, throne's not that good. I'm not worried about it. It's fine.
Throne's sweet.
Super good. All right, on to Mercs. We have Gastone 2, Osram, Ashlyn, and Magnus 2.
I'm gonna throw up.
Fucking
Merc. Also playing in the sprinkler.
Merc is so playing in the sprinkler. This ADR. This is amazing. I mean, look at the mat. I know it's a little bit different, but most people are playing Ashlyn fucking Cross or Gastone 2 or Osram and whatever
by
else. Like yeah, by choice. Oh, yeah. And here you go.
I will say the one thing. Now that I've seen Cross on the table, I was a little surprised by. I thought I was going to be losing every soul I put in front of him, and the amount of soul degradation out of my army was actually a lot lower than I was expecting. But man, can he just go on a fucking tear,
dude? I sent Pagani a message the other day, and you know I try not to bother him too much because I'm sure he gets a shitload of messages. And I said to him, you know, you fucking assholes over at Privateer Press might occasionally know what you're doing a little more than we think, because recently I've had to like turn over my thoughts on multiple casters, and I'm not the first person to come out and be like, trash, it's fucking trash. Like, I'm not that guy, right? But I did not like Gastone. I just didn't fucking like him. And I played him through CID. I started loving him before CID was over. And I was just like, this is bad, but this is really good. Like, you would start playing. First off, that Shield Guard spell might be one of the best spells ever printed.
It's fucking amazing.
It's a blast.
Let's get through that, okay? So he has everything he needs like to be a good caster. He's a toolbox. And I've said it before, if you need a wrench and somebody hands you a really shitty wrench, it still does the job, right? He's got all the pieces. His feet is strong. His feet is like an Alara-y kind of like mobility increasing feet with a side of just random stealth.
Just stealth.
And the running gun is cool. Everything he does, it works. It meshes. It supports the army that you're playing him around well. It's impressive. It really is impressive.
And Donald's Resolve is the best armor spell in the game.
It's okay. Like, I wasn't super excited about it, but he's good with cavalry. Like, his feet's strong on cavalry, and what would you rather protect than cavalry with Shield Guard, right?
Yeah.
And then you get the plus three armor spell. Like, you have the utility, all makes sense. It all works in the right direction. He's really solid. I'm annoyed by the random RFP and stuff that's out there in the world, like the random RFP themes and stuff that could just like potentially just shut him down pretty hard. But the good thing is a lot of those RFP themes play infantry, so you're back into the game with that, right? It's impressive. And to finish my statement with that, I told Will, I was like, I love Barnabas too. Like, and all I do is sit here and shit talk about him. And all I do is keep thinking after my games, I could have played that better. And I win some and I lose some, but I'm like, I think I could have like dominated that game, or I could have like won that one. And I'm doing that with a lot of casters. Like, I'll go through, like, same with Epic Morton Ebra. I talked about her in the past. I was like, you're garbage. You're fucking terrible. And then I play it and I'm like, I guess somebody had a fucking brain back there. Like, you know, so I give those guys a lot of credit. And, you know, when I'm saying they're assholes and stuff, it's all in jest. Those guys are fucking doing a great job with this stuff. This ADR, to get back on topic, makes my brain hurt. And it annoys me because I wanted to play Mercs and I don't want to play ADR because I don't like it. And I feel almost forced. I almost feel forced to play this ADR.
I mean, in Champions.
Can I remind you of Grimkin again?
What about him?
Wow, you're saying you forced to feel Mercs. Do you remember the Grimkin ADR?
Well, yeah, but I don't want to play Grimkin, so those guys can go fuck off and do whatever they want. I want to play Mercs, and I wanted to do what I wanted, and I wanted to be a unique snowflake and be like, I played Ashlyn, you know, and they're like, oh my god, and, you know, and like all this crazy shit. And also, it's worth noting that Ashlyn is the weakest caster on this list, and the love for Ashlyn and that smoke wall, which, by the way, if you watch Command that whole game, they're going to kill themselves. Eventually, that trencher is going to walk out of Gibbs Command, and they're going to lose. Just call them on it. But Osram's incredible. Magnus 2 is incredible. This fucking Osram Magnus 2 is like what Charles Soong plays like all the time. Yeah. And now, and Mercs have a great ADR, right?
Yes.
If you're in irregulars, you do whatever the fuck
whatever
you want.
Whatever you yep. want.
Like, what?
Yeah, literally bring every solo for yeah. every situation.
And then it's just what tools what do I need?
Oh, don't need Iris and Gorman? Swap them out for yep. whatever, yeah.
But you need a goddamn, like, fucking map. You know, you get a calculator out and shit and start figuring out where you're going to put your free points and how you're going to switch shit around and stuff. It's pretty crazy. But it's good, dude. And we all know it's good.
Basically,
right?
For them, you just take all your most expensive stuff for free in the list and throw all the cheaper ones
exactly.
in the sideboard and then yep. fucking figure it out later.
Yep.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Yep. It's really good. Mercs is, I think, that probably the number one winner.
I think number one. Is this
a list now?
No. It's not a list. It's just, I'm just saying, if I picked a winner from ADR, I think it's Mercs.
I think we should rank the factions by their ADR.
Moving
strength.
On. on to minions. We have Barnabas, Yaga Yaga, Sturm and Drang, and Midas.
I love Sturm and Drang. Is he that good? Probably not, but I fucking love him.
It's...
So I know Minions is up as they're having a good day in the world these days, but aren't most people who still have full entourage of Minions, aren't they still going to be the ones who are like, I'm just going to play whatever the fuck I want, and hey, guess what? The game is better balanced than you people think it is, and these are actually good.
Minions aren't in a bad spot. I'm just saying, like, I don't think Sturm and Drang is incredibly competitive, but I fucking love them.
The weirdest thing, I remember at ATC last year, which was a distant, distant past, Sturm and Drang was the top played minion caster. I remember that. And I remember since then, I would like look at him and be like, why? Well, they're kind of utility and they're kind of good at a lot of stuff.
Wasn't there only like two or three minions
there was
players
two,
at
think,
the
right?
ATC?
No, there were six. There was like
six okay.
ATC. Yeah. So Bloody Barnabas is probably like their best caster, right? Or like maybe not like Rasgood, but like he's probably like one of their best casters. We obviously can't make a full judgment on this until we know for a fact that old Jaga Jaga Snakey McGee Girl has the signs and portents or whatever.
Yeah.
That's going to be fucking incredible. And Midas, I like him. So like Valkyries are like one of the best units in the game.
Yeah.
And Battlelust is good. And he got a Soul Slave to cast Battlelust every turn.
Yep.
In that little alligator that's tied up. So you're playing Will Work for Food, which is their primary, like their best theme. And you're a little light on infantry, but like Valkyries can probably handle it. And considering your like negative would be like, oh, like a really big gun line would just like shoot your Midas army off the table. can they drop a really big gun line when you're paired with the like premier anti-gun caster in Barnabas? So, you know, welcome to List Chicken, motherfucker.
Yeah, I think Minions is pretty decent too. On to Menoth. We have Malakas, Durst, Resnik 1, and Thyra.
Oh, this is so easy. You just one list Thyra. Yeah. Got him.
Got him.
I don't think Malakas is awful.
I was going to say the Revelator's out now, right? Revelator's out. Malakas seems like he'd be fine with a Revelator. Eye of Truth and a Revelator. There, go.
I think Resnik is easily the weakest one, but like, he can still catch people sleeping. Just, oh, you move your cast too far forward. Just doesn't have transfers anymore.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Durst is solid. I mean, Thyra is very, very strong and popular right now. I mean, she's like been one of their original Ghost Fleet answer, right? Mm-hmm. For a little while. And then Malakas, while I don't think is super sexy, I mean, he, you know.
I think with the Revelator, he comes back significantly.
Goddamn self. Look at that sweet mug on Malakas. He's got a cute fucking face.
He has a face made for radio.
That dude eats a lot of chicken shakes. That's all
he does. Yeah, he's a big boy.
It's a good one because Anson Durst and Resnik to a lesser degree can play a similar list as like a Amon kind of thing.
Right.
Where like they show you like an army of warjacks. Thyra can play the swarmy infantry, like great answers across the board kind of infantry list. So mm-hmm. again, like your pairing is solid in the sense that the armies make sense. And when you're playing champions, the armies make sense, then you just put the caster in there, right? Well, Anson can be a shitty, possibly in certain situations, better Amon Adraza, you know, bold statement. Resnik has more threat than any caster should have, provided you agree to all of his dumb terms and stupid things that make that threat happen. Like, you have to sign up for all of the bonuses and stuff. Like, Resnik has to sell you the whole fucking thing. There's a lot of salesmanship and going into like, okay,
so,
buddy.
Resnik 1 sells timeshares.
You witch hound me. Okay, this is how this is going to go. You witch hound me. You shoot me and enliven me, and then I perdition you, and it happens to be the closest model. And I'm like, great game. Like, you agree, right? Sign on the dotted line. So. That's a good caster if the enemy agrees with you, if they're just going to be chill and be cool guys about it. Oh, and Malakas, he burns people. So.
No, I mean, I think you can make a... I think with the Revelator, I think that's going to be...
No, god damn it!
What?
I hate that thing.
Why?
It's so bad, the Judicator's better. You
it's
fucking heard it
fucking
here.
Fucking not.
I hear some people get fucking crazy. The Judicator is a better Jack. One day... the collective group of Menoth players will all look up and they'll stare into the mirror and they won't recognize their faces.
Disclaimer.
And they'll be like,
Brandon Andrews
does
not speak for Fully Boosted. His views are not representative of
Brandon,
the rest
the fuck
of the podcast.
I'm back in Brandon here.
Dude, the Revelator fucking sucks.
I agree.
You guys
Sorry, man. I'm sorry they've been waiting for that thing for so fucking long. I'm sorry they all got their paintbrushes out and fucking painted little minifixes on it and shit, and they're all excited about it. Because the goddamn Judicator's been better the whole time. It's been sitting there like, oh, let me just rain destruction on your army from a million inches. But it has an accurate, Brandon. How do I hit stuff? Well, no fucking boost or shoot it at low defense shit. I don't have a fucking, like, playbook on how to win every single situation in this game, but I can tell you that that goddamn Judicator is better than that Revelator.
But the problem is, because I've seen...
Well, I know the name of this episode.
What?
Judicator.
The problem is, I don't think the Judicator is, because being inaccurate when you're shooting at a lot of troops, a lot of which are higher defense, like it's rat fucking one, and it shoots.
You know what their defense
is?
You know what their defense is when P. Krios knocks their caster down? 5.
Sure. Sure.
Hill, 7.
In that one instance. Totally. But I don't think Pete Krios needs that because he just takes a bunch of Redeemers and they're getting more value out of them than a Judicator anyway. I think the problem is that you're banking on these deviations because you're not going to hit anything. So you're banking on the deviation template to go in the direction that is favorable to you. And if it doesn't, you're doing fucking nothing from your, what, 37-point model?
36, Revelator
36?
37.
Revelator.
Well, let's be clear, it's firing every turn because its range is fucking way more than the other dudes. So
oh, it's, yeah.
Don't act like the other one's doing something every single turn. The thing a Colossal needs to do every turn is affect the game in a meaningful way while keeping itself safe. so that it can basically attrition the table until the point where the enemy is like, I can't handle that Colossal. That's your base strategy when you play a Colossal.
Yes.
And the Revelator doesn't fucking do it.
Yeah, but he does bring some tools that they don't have. Like, being able... I mean, they already have, but, like, he has magic weapons. He removes stealth. I'm not saying that's something they don't have, but, like, that's a big deal. And then he drops two fucking pie plates of fire, which is fine.
Only... Oh, so he leaves scathed, but only
if he hits. If he hits. But he can, because he's rat fucking five, not rat one. Rat seven, because of choir buff.
He walks four and shoots ten, and you don't get plus two from choirs. Come on!
Yeah, choir's only damage.
No, that's right. I'm sorry. I always get confused which one.
I don't want to talk about this anymore.
And he's got a 14-inch. His other ones are range 14 guns and still POW 12s. That's fine. I don't want to hear it. This is blasphemy. Revelator's still better.
I'll defend it till I die. Get ready for Zakar, too. That's right after we talk about Rhett.
It is.
Go ahead, Grant.
Let's talk about Rhett. We have Helena, whatever.
Are we all mad at each other right now?
No.
It's like you're angrily passing off the mic.
I'm a little mad at Brandon for not backing the Revelator. I can think of the Judicator.
But the Rockets, man. But the Rockets.
I had a bad day, and then I came home, and I ate my broccoli chicken jam, and then I got on here immediately, and I started playing with
just
you.
For me to
just for me to shit all over you.
Hold on. I'm sorry. What? I just got the image of, like, broccoli cheddar jam, like actual jam made from
broccoli chicken, buddy. You don't understand this.
Broccoli chicken.
It, okay, it's a broccoli chicken thriller. We'll just go
what
on a
does
side
that
tangent
mean?
Here. You go right after work to Applebee's because they got half price apps, happy hour, bro. You get the chicken quesadilla. You run by the PDQ on the way home. You get the garlic broccoli. You put the broccoli in the quesadilla. You take the whole thing. You throw it in your blender. You mix it up, and boom, you drink it. All right, that's why we're here, and that's why I'm all crazy tonight.
That sounds an awful lot like Florida.
Sometimes you just gotta wind him up and let him go.
Buddy, I blend everything.
You must, because, like, you're just no big deal. Just blend it to quesadilla. Like,
what? You sell your teeth for money.
Bad idea. I don't need them anymore. I drink everything through a straw.
Oh my god.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Active duty roster retribution, right? Season 7.
Helena, Alara 2, Ron, and Raven.
What
yeah,
the fuck?
Alara 2 and Ron.
It has Alara 2, so it's fine.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's Alara 2 and then either Ron or Helena and get fucked.
Helena's really good. And I feel like she had, like, she was popular for a hot minute and then disappeared, and I'm not sure why, because I still think she's good.
Theme forces.
She was really good out of theme. When Rhett wasn't tied to a theme, she was really good. Now, I think she's still really good in some of those themes. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if she's better than Ron, but it's definitely Alara and then splice in one of the other ones.
So, fucking Chicken Boy, do you want to jump in here and, like, try to tell me how good Raven is?
So, Jesters.
All right. Anyone else's opinion?
You have to have Alara 2 because you have to be able to fight into, what's his McJig up there, right? Epic Denegra. If she's, like, the incorporeal feat and that actually goes through, which it looks like it will, then Alara has to basically be there to answer it, because if you have an incorporeal Deathjack in your army, you can't win. So, yes, we agree. Alara has to happen. Alara's fucking overpowered anyway. Everybody knows it. And then you have to choose between these other three clowns. And, I mean, Ron is obviously great, but is it different? Does it do something that Alara doesn't? Well, Alara's kind of a melee jam kind of thing. Ron is like a medium rangey kind of like nuke your army kind of deal, mm-hmm. with obviously assassination is like no problem for him.
I think that they do different things because I don't think they share any similar models and play a completely different game plan on their way to winning the game.
Agreed. So then, like, you look at Helena, right? And Helena kind of, depending on your list, of course, will play very similar to Alara. And then we all know what Raven does. Raven only does one thing. She does feet go. She can, like, play like a bunch of guns, fire them at you and kind of do her thing. It's probably the least diverse out of all of them, but the faction is so diverse in general. Like, when you're getting prepared for a tournament, it's hard to prepare for a rep because you don't know what the fuck's about to happen.
Right.
So the Philadelphia meta does, because 1/4 of all of our goddamn players play rep.
Apparently.
It's more than
apparently
1/4
we're just
now,
the
rep
meta now.
Yeah, but they play, like, all kinds of different random shit. I don't want to get into our mat conversation because you guys were wanting to do that next time. But you look down that ret and you've got some P-Virus, some Gareth, some Alara, some Helena. Like, it literally every caster is listed there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they really want to make you learn the field. So
Those light jacks are overpowered too.
Yeah, they're oh my god.
So the siren?
I don't know if they're overpowered, but they're as fucking close as you get without going way bonkers past the line.
So I mean, is it mainly Alara 2 Ron and you're done? I mean, is there a case for Raven in here at all?
You can make your cases for anything because it's champions. Yeah. And like, so okay, the thing I was gonna say earlier, and I decided to stop, is if you just like generally, if you're like an okay player and you're like, I wanna be good at War Machine or whatever, if you sat for long enough and you truly said, let's say I'm a red player and you're pairing as Alara and Ron, and you looked through all these casters, you could conceivably look and figure like what you're going to play in every single faction, like what their pairing is going to be and stuff. Like Anson Durst isn't going to play a lot of different shit. He's going to be like, you know, about a group of four or five jacks. Maybe he'll play this. You know, you can figure these out. Like you can't say that about War Machine right now. Like there's just too much shit out there, right? But with champions, you could actually like legitimately be like, I know what I'm going to play into. So you could sit down with enough time and enough care and be like, okay, Alara is my main caster. Where do I go with this? And then be like, well, Alara can't beat, I don't know, fucking Resnick because he's in my line of sight right here. So Raven can, which isn't true. But yeah, Raven's the one. So you know what I mean? So you could totally do that. So it is a good pairing.
Yeah.
And I mean, it leads with Alara, like we've all said. And then you can handle your demons with the other one.
Well, and like I said earlier, I mean, with themes, again, and no DNC, I think the possibility is there for almost
the big one is DNC, which I think the points he's getting to is that you can literally make a statement for any caster. Yeah,
this list, I'm going to get fucked if I see this. I take this caster and, okay, go.
Scorn.
We have Zakhar, Jalam, Zadesh 2, and Zal...
One
of them. Oh,
there you go.
How do you not know which one it is? He's not a fucking statue.
Don't ask Grant.
I'm not really. I'm just reading the names. I wasn't looking at the picture. Anyway. I already went down to work.
So is this just Jalam and then sprinkled to taste?
No, I think it's fucking Zadesh and then
yeah, Zadesh 2.
Zadesh 2 and then figure out what else you want
to
do.
I'm y'all saying, motherfuckers need to Jalam, grow up. Like, Whippy Hands McGee is a good caster, and I don't fucking care what those people say. So I spent the $10 for Privateer Press for the Black Friday sale, and I got that shit sent to my house, and I will fucking play Zakhar, and I might even be a goddamn Zakhar player by the end of this year.
You won't
because
be.
I swear to God that fucking caster is good.
I don't think
you keep playing him, and I'll worry about everyone else playing Jalam and Zadesh too.
And Zadesh is really strong too, and Jalam.
You can keep prepping
you
for
Zakhar. You can keep playing Zakhar.
Right.
And P'Zal has a strong theme with a lot of free points, similar to almost like a Dark Host kind of thing. He can run with that theme and play a game into you that you might not be prepared for because of the skew that he brings.
Do you really think Zakhar is good?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to fucking kill everybody.
So, well, no, I want to talk about that because I think that...
I'm not prepared to talk about it yet.
I think the general consensus, at least among the Scorn community, the people I know, is that he is hot garbage. So I'm honestly just curious what you like about him and why you think he's good.
So three sentences. Why is he good? Go.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
He's got a feat.
That's different than every other caster in the game.
That's not what I expected from that.
So, I bought him. I'm gonna play him. I'm gonna make a list for him. I'm gonna fucking play him.
Yeah, but
I'm
like,
gonna fucking show people.
But like,
I'm gonna get that dude with the fucking eyeballs that shoots a spray at people, and he's gonna fucking kill people too. Oh, and then he's gonna dig in.
Cheer on.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, but like, you can't just say he's good.
Look at Zakhar's photo.
You can't just say he's good and then not have anything to back him up.
I'm telling you,
I got it, Brandon. I got you.
The precipice of it. I normally back up everything
Brandon,
I say.
I got this guy.
I'm gonna play him.
Okay.
Look at the photo of Zakhar. Look at that man's face. He's yelling in agony. He's in pain.
He's a pain giver.
You know why he's in pain? He hasn't shit in 30 goddamn years. That is a constipated man. That's why all the anger's there.
They all look like that. Knock it off.
They do. So all right. So you owe me one conversation about Zakhar when you make him good.
You owe me a conversation.
Yeah, like on the podcast. Like, we got to talk
about it. You get sound effects, and I get an air raid siren, and we get to start my really sweet put up or shut up every week, my 3-minute power hour, where you guys have to tell me the list you're going to play in the week. When we get to start doing that, I will play Zakhar as my first one. So next week, look forward to that.
Oh, my God. No way. God. All right. I think Scorns is good just because Zadesh is on there. I think he's super good right now. And Jalam is also good. And like you said, there's Zal could catch you off guard, too. So Scorn's got a good option there.
Zal can skew. He can skew with that theme, which is cool.
And on to Trolls. We have Ragnar, Kolgrimma, Borka 2, and Grim 1.
Yes. Good. So this is I
nailed it.
If it had been Borka 1, this literally would have been the three casters that like made me want to play trolls in Mark 2. That I love Grim 1. I love Ragnar. I love Borka 1. Borka 2 is actually really good too. And Cold Grim is really good. I think this might actually beat out the Mercs as far as...
Ryan, was your analysis that all of the troll warlocks are really good?
Yeah.
Just making sure I got that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. I mean, this is... I think they might have the strongest... ADR, yes. Normally profits the...
Which ones pair together then?
Pretty much...
I can tell you my guess.
Cole Grim is really good. I don't think you'd pull... Well, it's less of which ones go together. I don't think you would put Cole Grim and Grim 1 together. But other than that combination, I think pretty much everything else you could make
Cole Grim
good...
and Borka 2. Done.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's the obvious one.
Go. My pairing with trolls right now is Cole Grim and Grim Angus. That is my pairing with trolls. And I play Power of Dunia with a Beast Brick and one King. And I play... Storm of the North with the other one. Mm-hmm. And notice how I'm not assigning him to the caster because I literally haven't decided which one I like better with it. I feel like they both have advantages.
You think it could go either way? Like either one could play either?
Colgrima will probably end up being the one that holds on to Power of Dunia. Mm-hmm. It's easier to protect a smaller army and the Arc Note is nice and blah, blah, blah.
I was going
to
say the Arc Note on the spray is really nice.
But they both are effective. And if you catch the wrong enemy and they... So Grim Angus, like, this is the most layman's terms. At the very basic level, Grim Angus stops melee because his feet does.
Yep.
Cole Grim stops range because her feet does. So, like, either way I handle it, right?
Yep.
Like, and that's a really lame
simplistic way. But that's really, that's a super strong option to just have. Like,
My only thing to add to that would be whichever list you made that had more reliance on hitting stuff with guns would be the one I'd put Grim into. Grim, right now, in my theorycraft, because I haven't gotten to put it on the table yet, but Grim Angus is my Storm of the North, and Cole Grim is my Dunian, because Raiders with his feet, where they're getting to go in, hit, and then that Rat 5 doesn't matter. The Rat 5's on the Hooch Hauler from the sprays don't matter. None of it matters. Everything's going to hit, because you're minus 3 death or more. And then the threat extension from Bait the Line means that your one or two heavies that you wanted to take are now threatening the board. I feel like that's a list where you could take a ton of AD, take two squads of Fire Eaters, a squad of Raiders, Bears, and then you're in their face on the bottom of one. And no matter what they brought, you're going to beat the living crap out of it while you score on scenario. And then when they go to retaliate, you buy yourself almost an entire turn. You're going to lose your front line, but you just make sure that whatever what the not front line is strong enough to keep him alive for that turn. You're going to absolutely decimate people on scenario.
Yeah, and from the perspective of defense, Colgrim still has affliction. I think they left it called that with her, right? It's not called like curse or something, right? So you still have affliction, the negative two defense, and auto one damage if you don't break.
Yep.
And that's still effective with Raiders. And I mean, if we're continuing, Ragnar is a very solid caster that plays a very specific type of game. And it can be good. It can be really good. It also helps that there isn't like a single troll caster in the game that can't give plus 3 speed to a beast now.
Right.
Because of the Northkin stone attachment and rush, right? So like every troll is fast now. It's a new world.
They did change it to Cursed Fate, but doesn't matter. Same.
It's like the same spell.
It is.
That.
Well, yeah, they.
That name also makes sense for Fiona. She kind of gets into that kind of stuff too.
Yep.
But whatever.
So that's that. That's the Season 7 ADR, which is going to start, January 2018 until lock and load, basically. So that's cool. Brandon, what are you playing right now? Or are you just fucking playing everything until you figure it out?
I played Gaststone over the weekend a couple times. I went to Orlando. My girlfriend met a rat named Gus. She didn't like him. And I played a couple of games with Gaston. He was really sick. He's getting better and better every time I played him. Actually, when I played him, I just pulled random shit out of a guy's bag, and I made an army, and it was really good. with Steelhead Calf. Blech. And it's played good. And what was I playing? Oh, I was playing Barnabas the other day too. I showed you guys some games with him.
Yep.
And then I played Epic Barnabas again because I can't quit him. And I played one more game. What was that other game I told you guys about with the Cricks? Oh, I played P. Gatsby into Testament, and it went well.
Oh, yeah. You said you ended up killing him, right?
Yeah, it was brutal.
Nice. what else do we have going on? We have the mat next week, next Saturday. Brad, you're doing Ice House this weekend?
I made my own convention this weekend. I'm going to Top Deck, then I'm going to Drunk Machine, then I'm going to Ice House.
Oh, you guys are going to be a shit show on Sunday. It's going
to
be great.
I think I'm in the same boat, but I don't get to go to Drunk Machine. I get to go to work. I got to do shit at work on Saturday or Sunday morning, and then I'm going down for the tournament.
Sunday, yeah, so I built my own convention. So
yeah. Basically, you got War Machine
drinking all Saturday.
War Machine drinking more War Machine. Yeah, you did.
And drinking while playing War Machine during Drunk Machine. So.
So yeah, Top Decks, and this is the last Ice House that is in Delaware. It's the last one ever, right?
Yeah, so I know a lot of our listeners are from the area. There's an area in Delaware called Ice House. It is it's not a store, it's kind of a gaming club. It exists in an industrial park on the second floor of like a shipping yard that's like an industrial freezer. So one of the guys that works for that shipping company, like, rented the space from the company he works for. And that company now has sold to another company, so he will not have that same space to run the club out of. So it was like this gaming club that you would never find unless you already knew it existed because there's no signs for it. It was this really unique and kind of cool.
Yeah, when you took me there, setup. I was pretty sure you were going to murder me in the parking lot. So I was like, dude, why are we in
there's
a
there's no
factory?
Signs. You have to like go through like this gate, like this open gate that has like barbed wire all over it. You go in this unmarked door. The ground floor has like no doors that are unlocked. And then to your left is just a stairwell. You go up the stairwell into this like unlit
hallway. Yeah.
All the doors along the side are locked until the end of the hall where there's just a door where you can see through the glass and you can see like gaming table set up. And then right below the glass in a printed sheet of white paper, it says Ice House Games. That's the only fucking sign for this place.
Yep.
Fuck you. Yep. I think I speak for the rest of the world when I say what? Like, what possesses you to go in there? There's a bunch of sterile.
I only went in because Brad had
you
already been there.
4x4 wood tables to, gaming. That's not what that shit's normally used for, bro. They normally have, like, saws and shit. And you're like, look at all this fake blood everywhere. Somebody's been doing a lot of red painting. Ha ha ha. Dude, fuck you. I'm not going in that place.
Well, don't worry. It's closing.
Yeah, you don't have
to. And you weren't invited.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
Well, good thing the overhead wasn't a lot of money. What, they couldn't get together the $35?
So that's actually the really cool thing about this place is they didn't have any fucking overhead. So when you go to the events there, if they had 10 people show up and there's like $100 in the prize pool.
All went to prize
they
pool.
Gave like the amount that the upsell was in this prize support. So you go there like 10 people and there'd be like $160 in prize support. Because they didn't have any fucking overhead to hit. The new company that's buying it just won't let them have the space.
Yeah, it actually was pretty sweet. Other than feeling like you're going to get raped and murdered for the first 10 minutes. Once you're inside, you're like,
oh,
this
is fine.
I never had that
feeling. I was just always uncomfortable because it was like really difficult to control the heat.
You work in the casino.
That space is fucking hot.
You work in a casino in Atlantic City, so like you don't care. You're fine.
What the fuck does that mean?
it means you are used to the threat of getting raped and murdered, so like you don't care.
What do you think actually happens at the casinos, Grant?
What I just said.
War Machine. There's
how many hookers have you kicked out of a casino?
None, but I have alerted security that they're there, and then they've done it.
Right. So, you know, I mean, come on.
You need to step up, Brad.
Oh, my God.
It used to be fun, like, just to, like, walk around at night and, like, try to see how many hookers. Like, I used to work Grave. Like, it was like, how many hookers can I find? And I didn't, like, report them all to security unless they're like being really shitty. Like, if you're just existing, like, do you?
Okay, so we've got. Are we still podcasting?
Yep. Yeah,
I think so.
I think we're gonna wrap up soon. But
we have other what's it called topics?
We did, but they were Pete's, so I'm saving.
They were Pete's.
Yeah, so we're just gonna save that for next week. So I was gonna see if anyone had anything else fun to talk about.
Ooh, the value condensed cast. This is kind of nice. We haven't had one this short in a while.
Yep. I mean, unless anyone has anything else that they want to talk about quickly, I don't know.
I
disappear in 4 minutes, so.
The car's really good. I think he could be good because you got that sweet minion theme. You can have a Dracodile with him.
I mean, yeah, but isn't it just better with like other cast, other warlocks?
Well, you can't play all the other warlocks with it
in ADR.
That's fine.
Also, then we put the -3 on the enemy because he does that with his feet, I'm pretty sure. And then the Dracodile just like wades into their army. And then you're like, what are all your jam models going to do against this Dracodile? And they're like, fucking probably ignore it. And you're like, fuck yeah. I mean, these are all great ideas. I really like this guy. This is going to get good.
I am really excited.
I'll play any caster. I'm not fucking scared.
No, but that's honestly, having that mentality is really good because I, and a lot of people, we get in this like, you play it once or you don't play it. You just look at it and you don't like it and you kind of just shove it off and that's the end of it. And then you just have that in your mind that like, this is bad. But having the mentality of just going, you know what? Like, I'm going to try. I'm going to try to make this guy work. Like, if everybody did that, the game, it'd be totally different. Like, it'd be crazy how much more shit would get played, I think.
You have to imagine. You have to know for a fact, right? Nobody can dispute that the only competitive stuff in the game isn't just what the people are winning with, right? I mean, if you think that, you're wrong immediately because I won with P-Scar when nobody was playing her with the double Wraithens and shit. So, I've won tournaments with Kray. I've won tournaments with Striker 3. And we're just talking about my dumbass. So, people win with bad shit all the time.
I feel like
bad
this comes shit. Back to something that has always been, I think, one of the strongest single points of Wurma Hordes in general, is that the power level between the worst and the best thing in this game is so tight that someone who has a ton of reps with the worst caster and the worst faction going into someone who's playing the hotness, the crazy, slightly overpowered list, who's got one or two reps with it, I feel like that it wouldn't be a shocker to see the quote unquote worst caster win that, or just have a couple die rolls. If both players play very cleanly, have just a couple die rolls separate, you know, winning and losing from them. I mean, the game is, for what it is, the game is very well balanced as far as power level goes.
Banky said it all the time. I mean, he's always said that I'll play the caster that I'm just going to know the matchup more than you. I'm going to have played it more than you, and I'm going to know my stuff better than you know your stuff, and I'm going to know your stuff better than you know your stuff. And that's a very strong tool to have, and yeah. And I think themes really, really help with that. Like, I think themes can polish some of these turds, and I say that somewhat facetiously, but like to be able to take somebody like Azakar and find a theme that works with him, build this list around him, and, you know, and it's fine. And you're right. The difference, the parody between the casters, that's very, it is probably the best it's ever been. I mean, almost definitely.
I mean,
you may know on paper that this matchup is good, but that doesn't mean that you've played that list enough and you know the situations. There are unique situations I've been in with some of the lists I've played a lot, like Scar. I have hundreds of games with her, and there's unique situations I've been in with her where I'm like, look, I know how to get out of this one. And then you see it again and you remember it. You remember every loss, you know, like I was telling you guys the other day, when I go to the store, I'm like, I need to lose a couple games tonight, right? I don't need to come up here and win. I'm up here to lose a couple games.
Well, I mean,
I'll just play the car and you'll be fine.
I feel like that's true of a lot of things is, I mean, you almost always learn so much more from a loss than you ever do from a win.
I agree. Or like, even when you're winning, you learn from like the shit mistakes that you made during the win and stuff. You're like, well, I pulled that one out, but that was a real game for me. Like, not a bullshit, I accidentally got you, but that was like a real game had I gone left instead of right, you know what I mean? Or, you know, just small things. I forgot Apparition on the first turn. My Blackbane's never had pressure in the game ever again because that they got a turn behind because of it. Like, you remember that stuff.
Yeah.
And this ADR is so fucking good. I'm scrolling up and down it. It's so fucking good.
It is.
It's the most competitive listing of ADR that I can ever remember. I might be speaking out of my ass. I might pull up the other one and just be like, no, I'm wrong. But it feels like it to me, looking at it. Like, the game's a different spot, but
if you're wrong from it, I'm in that same boat because, and I've paid attention to the ADR over the time because I've been playing a lot of Convergence.
No, I mean, I'm looking at it right now. I mean, Signar's Maddox, Kane 3, Darius, and Striker 3. That's not really sexy. Malekith, Fiora 3, Krios 2, I think. High Exemplar Krios. Which one's that? One.
Which one? Is this the last one?
It's 2. I'm checking.
This is the last one.
This is the last one. I'm just saying. I'm just kind of
high exemplar is two.
No, grand exemplar is two. I'm looking at that right now. So high exemplar Krios is one. So Krios.
Oh, that's good caster. Yeah, I knew that he was. That's a good caster.
Krios one and then Testament, which obviously now is yeah. Kozlov, Strakov two, Zarkova two. No, Colden Commander. Yeah, it's Zarkova two, right? And then Irusk. I don't know. Whichever one Supreme Commandant is. Guys, I'm really not good at this.
Two. If Zarkova says with the Reaver Guard, then it's two.
Oh, okay. Then that's Zarkova one, and then Irusk.
Two. So Supreme Commandant is two.
She's so cool until she's not.
And I don't even need to read the rest of them, but I mean, just even some of those. I mean, Krix. Agathea, Morty two, Gorshade the Bastard, and Asphyxius the Hellbringer.
I hated this season's Krix ADR.
It was a tough one. I couldn't get excited about anybody. I would have taken like any casters. I would have taken any dice roll.
Look at Mercs was Kane 3, Siphon, Shay, and Magnus 2. That's not
Magnus 2 and Shay is like really competitive.
No, mm-hmm. It is, but I mean look at that compared to
you want to talk about something I'm excited to play. I showed you guys my new Merc models and shit that I'm getting.
Yeah, those are
that
sexy.
Fucking Shay is so good. He's so good.
I'm just saying, look at that compared to Gaston 2, Osram, Ashlyn, and then Magnus, obviously. Like that's sweet. So yeah, I agree. This is a much better ADR across the board than I think we've seen. I still don't like mine, but that's not new.
Yeah, but you never like your own shit.
No, well, I just don't think Signar ever, I just don't think ADR's ever been, it's never going to be good for Signar. It's always going to be just like, okay, that's fine. Cray, Siege 2, that's cool. All right, I think that's it. We'll wrap up. Next week, we're going to go through we'll go through a lot of the lists on the mat, and we'll talk about them and talk about what we like and don't like. And then whatever Pete wanted to talk about.
We'll talk at Mike's since he had to leave. And say shit.
Yeah. All right, thanks for listening. I'm Grant.
I'm Ryan.
I'm here.
I'm Snooty.